Everybody awake!
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the WPTF Weekend Gardener. Mike Rayleigh here. Hope everybody's doing fine this morning. Johnny Coley, extension agent in person in Granville County, is with us this morning. Johnny, you all right?
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good, good. Seems like I just saw you. I think we had lunch not too long ago.
Yeah,
first,
not too long ago.
Was it
19th of December?
Yeah. So.
A couple weeks ago.
And with Paul McKenzie.
Christmas and brought in a new year since then. So.
That's right. That's right. So hope you had a great Christmas.
Yes, sir.
All your animals and your cows are doing well?
Everybody's doing well. I hope they were this morning when I left anyway.
Let's see, you used to have a goose. She's not with you anymore.
Yeah, we lost the goose this fall.
Do you have a turkey?
I have a turkey hen, and two peacocks, and then the chickens and
Do the peacocks raise cane?
They do in the spring. They're usually in the spring, summer. They do.
Do they have big tail feathers?
They do. They grow them in the spring through the summer, and then all the tail feathers will fall out in the late summer, early fall.
I believe the Secretary General of Gardening is with us this morning from Boone. Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning, my friend. I have to tell you that your geography is a little bit wrong.
Oh. Where are you?
I developed the last 3 days a pretty bad case of the flu.
Oh, no.
So my trip was thwarted, and I am sitting in my kitchen now talking to you and the Honorable Johnny Coley and the Radio Land people out there.
Well, I hope you're feeling better. You sound good. You sound good.
I've got one of those award-winning Broadcaster Hall of Fame voices with a little cold
in. Much better than mine. I'm sorry that you, but you sound good.
I didn't think that we ought to come in this morning.
Yeah, well, certainly you need to stay in. Yeah.
My friends in the studio, sometimes when I'm talking on the telephone in the joint meeting or something, I forget, and I say, well, I hope this smoking doesn't bother all of y'all.
Well, you know,
cigars.
You've had.
But I'm taking my mother's advice. This darn cat just jumped up on the table. Get away from here, boy. Lum, get off here.
Lum and Abner. Where's Abner?
The cat is named Lum after Lum and Abner. But I'm taking my grandmother's advice about a little cup of cough syrup mixed with a little bit of brandy in it.
Brandy. Whew.
Yeah.
Man.
That doesn't taste too good. But
no, that certainly doesn't. Yeah, well, that'll certainly weigh you. You sound great, and I'm sure you're going to feel better. I know that you had Guillain-Barré syndrome years ago, and you can't get the flu shot.
They have a warning there. If you had Guillain-Barré syndrome, do not dare even think about taking a flu shot.
Right.
So if it comes, it just comes with me.
Yeah, well, you've been pretty lucky over the last several years with it.
I certainly have. I rarely get a cold, but I've got a doozy right now.
Yeah.
And wow. So I would now be about close to, if I were on the traveling, I'd be about to Yadkinville, North Carolina.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's pretty country. We went up to Asheville a few days ago and had a lot of fun up there. And that's pretty up there, too. But it doesn't – I tell you, you can't drive. We drove as far north as we could on the Blue Ridge Parkway, which wasn't far at all north of Asheville. They still have some of that blocked off. I know they're working hard on it. It's amazing how many trees – are down as you drive along there, just all over the place. Of course, that was hit much harder than farther north, but it was still bad up north, West Jefferson, Boone area. But the Blue Ridge Parkway is so pretty. We had to get out, had time to do it, and drove up, but couldn't drive very far north. But
I live about 4 miles from the Blue Ridge Parkway, and of course grew up on the side of the New River,
right,
which crosses the parkway many times. And it's just a beautiful area of the country. And thank goodness people travel the parkway probably more, they say more than any park in America.
I don't doubt it. And it's can be relaxing. You know, if you're driving and have control, if you're the passenger, I'm not sure you're always feel as secure doing that. I know Melissa.
Well, if you want to be in a hurry, you don't want to get on the parkway.
That's true. Although people, I think, drive too fast sometimes on the parkway. I've had a lot of tailgating if it's busy up there, like it is in the fall, for instance. But you should take it easy. I mean, just practically speaking, but. Also, just to enjoy the beauty, and it's a lot to see up there. So, I'm sorry that you couldn't head up to see some of your relatives this weekend, but there'll be other times you can do that. So,
I want to introduce to the audience here my friend Lum, L-U-M, the cat.
Did Lum get off the table?
Yeah, Lum's up on the table here.
Oh, okay.
Front of the house now. He's a rescue cat. He's after the famous radio crowd that some people may remember out in Radio Land if they're over 75 years old. A radio show in the 20s and 30s called Lum and Abner.
I love Lum and Abner. You get to hear it once in a while, but that was about as old fashioned as you could get in this.
The jot 'em down store.
Yeah.
So we named him Lum.
Great. Well, you need Abner now.
Lum, this is your Weekend Gardener audience, and we're waiting on to get you a big brother to try to take Jasper's place, but I doubt any dog will ever do that.
No, Jasper was the king, certainly was. So, he'd be hard to replace. Once in a while, do I see a English setter, very beautiful animals. Just like the Irish setter.
Oh yeah,
but they're few and far between. So you were lucky to have one for so many years. They are loyal.
We had a series of about in a row about five English setters.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I measured my life through the spans of my lifetimes of my setters.
So you didn't have any hound dogs, huh?
Well, I grew up. We grew up with beagles.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you.
I'd love to get big old bloodhounds.
Well, I don't know if they howl like the beagle. Now, the beagle, you get a pack of beagles going, and one starts, and the rest of them carry on. When Melissa and I first got married, we lived in a duplex in Raleigh, and the house right beside us, the gentleman had a pack of beagles. I mean, there were three or four of them out there. I don't know how many make a pack, but at any rate, one would start, and then the rest of them would chime in, and then usually at 5 o'clock in the morning or something. And then you would hear him rush out and yell something at them. I won't repeat what he yelled, but
oh yeah.
So they were good memories.
They wouldn't. they wouldn't adhere to that old adage about never miss a good chance to shut up.
Well, they really knew how to tune up, boy. Yeah. They had it down pat.
It's amazing. You hear hunters, you know, that used to run. My dad used to do some rabbit hunting and run beagles, and so you could always distinguish each dog's voice from one to the other.
I know. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How about that? Well, I guess if you're with them enough, they
kind
of work.
Always have that lead, dog.
Well, sir, have you been out, had a chance to get out? I don't know how long you've been sick, but you been out in the garden much this week?
I certainly did. I was out yesterday, still cleaning up. I pruned a huge hydrangea with PG. Went down about 2 feet on it.
Oh, wow.
And I just experiment with it each year to see whether it just clip off the blooms or whatever. I just that's part of gardening. The fun, as Johnny knows, is experimenting with it. And I planted some more pansies that Phil was getting ready to throw away. Our dear friend Phil Campbell. I hope she's doing well today.
She is. She was doing well yesterday. Melissa and I were. We're sitting at S&T's, a restaurant, one of our favorite restaurants in Pittsburgh. And lo and behold, somebody grabbed me, and it was Phil. She and she and the mayor and Carlton and a couple of her workers were sitting at a table, and it was pretty full. So Melissa and I were sitting at the counter, and because it's like an old drugstore. We were sitting at the counter, and she she's doing great. Everybody's doing fine.
Well, good. Good.
Yeah. So we were. That was a nice surprise yesterday. Good meal and nice surprise to see some old friends, good friends. Friends of long standing, I guess, is what Ann Clapp used to say.
Yeah.
So I've been watching my Daphne, and it there are buds, of course, but it's always interesting to watch it. It's such a tease, this plant.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think of what else is blooming in my yard. But the main thing is the winter sweet. And Johnny, I apologize for not bringing in some buds this morning. That thing is just going crazy, and they're the sweetest smelling. They smell like banana kits, the candy, to me. And they're yellow. They have yellow blooms.
Yeah.
I don't know what variety it is. I've had it for a long time, and it's a large, large shrub. So you can really, when things are a little bit warm, you can really smell it if it times out right. If you're walking by my house or walking in the landscape, but I don't know that I can think. What else is – I have seen something – oh, Prunus mumae. I do not have one, but you do, Rufus.
Yes, I do, and I'm going to walk out there during a break and check it just for the heck of it. And I've got some hellebore, the early
– Oh, yeah. The hellebore are certainly –
What it would be called, the pure white.
Yeah, that's a hybrid, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a hybrid. I wish it were seeded.
I know. It's. I don't know if Johnny, have you seen any of those, the hybrid hellebore that are sterile?
I don't think I've seen any.
And
of the,
they,
the
colors are magnificent. The colors are usually muted on the hellebore, and they're not on these. Mm-hmm. But the white's pure. Quite pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done a lot of breeding with them.
And then there is a seeded kind of hellebore that is a dark purple that blooms before any of the others come out, and I see it real budded out. Now, my other hellebore don't come along until really about the 1st of March.
Huh.
And then, as you know, I've got thousands.
Yeah, you do.
And I have to watch them taking over anywhere if you want to play safe. Don't put hellebore there, because those little seeds are going to jump and dance and have fun and go crazy.
Well, it's really ironic. I have a rose of Sharon that you gave me many years ago, in a spot, and surrounding it literally are hellebore. They, I mean, they're just packed. It's a bed of hellebore. And it's really funny to me. It's like they say, well, we're in Rufus's club. So that's where they settled. There's nowhere where else. I mean, I have them scattered, but there's nowhere else where they have congregated like that.
All right, I've potted up about 20 out of the rock garden that I'm going to take to about 5 or 10 of them to our next off-site meeting. So
all right,
we'll be ready.
All right. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up here on WPTF. It's 8:20. We're back on WPTF, the Weekend Gardener. It's 8:23. Mike Rayleigh here, along with Johnny Coley, extension agent in Granville and Person County. Brother Rufus is with us by phone, sitting at home with Lum, his cat, this morning. And I'm sure Miss Linda is as far away as she can get from our discussion this morning. I don't think she's not a gardener, is she?
Well, she loves the beauty of somebody else's work.
Well, I'm sure she loves that yard. But you know, not everybody's interested in gardening. That's okay. Lum, I'm sure will develop some interest, and at some point, if she's not already, he or she is already following you yet, or around the yard.
She follows me everywhere I go. I have a letter outside, or him. Lum is a he. About
well,
2 years old.
Then, he'll follow you around outside too. Then, I imagine, but if you let him out. At any rate, Johnny, what's going on in your world? I know that this is not quite as busy a time as
well,
others, but you're making plans.
So. Yeah, it's always plans being made. Of course, wrapping up the new year reporting and everything for wrapping that up. The Master Gardener volunteers for Grambling Person had a wreath workshop the 1st of December. I guess it was the 6th of December. So we have do this on an annual basis, and always do a great job. Usually have it in Person County. I think we've had it in Granville County 1 year just for venue more than anything else for where to have it. But they bring all the greenery in, so all the master gardeners bring all the greenery in, and then patrons come and make a wreath out of all the greenery that they bring in. It's
That's
amazing.
Tedious.
Yeah, but it's amazing that, I mean, we've been
I
doing
love
this
watching
six
it.
Or seven years, and never have I seen two wreaths look the same. They have the same greenery. They have the same materials to make it out of, but everybody makes them look different. So it's fun. Most, I think everybody has it. It can be a little intimidating at first, I think, for some people, because just to get started, we have a video for them to watch to show them how to do it. And a lot of the Master Gardener volunteers have done it, and they know how to help them, you know, get started. And a lot of times that's the hardest thing is getting started.
So do you have a frame?
Have a frame, and then you have paddle wire, what they call paddle wire, that you wrap bundles of greenery.
Right.
You might mix some magnolia leaves with
the magnolia cedar. Is what I like. I like to have magnolia on a wreath, and I don't know, boxwood is kind of traditional.
Holly with some red berries.
Yeah.
You know, so just whatever the Master Gardener volunteers have in their yard. We bring in, and a lot of filler is of the cedar, and
cedar's good.
Yeah, cedar works real well, and arborvitae.
If you've got eucalyptus, that's good too.
Eucalyptus is good. Yeah, we've had some of that. That's an accent. You know, so you don't need a lot of the eucalyptus just to throw in some color, but it's just amazing the different wreaths that come out of that event each year. So
Rufus, have you taken a wreath making class, or
no? I haven't.
Have you ever made one?
I think it's yes, I have. Miss Helen Holmes, who used to be over at the farmers market, gave me some forms to use, and I've made them before.
Oh, yeah. I should do that. What I have had trouble with, and Nelsa Cox, when she owned the Garden Hut many years ago, her mother was there conducting a ribbon-making class, tying the ribbons and forming them. And you're talking about making your hands hurt?
Yeah, my mom made bows for years because we had the nursery, and she would make bows for plants that people came in and they wanted, you know, wanted it wrapped with foil in a bow, and mom would wrap the bow.
Oh, boy.
She makes beautiful bows. And at Christmas time, of course, the poinsettias, every year she would make, you know, hundreds of bows for the poinsettias. But, yeah, and she can still tie bows. She came to the wreath workshop this past year. And
good. I bet she had a lot of ideas.
She made a beautiful wreath and actually gave it to LaVon and I, and we hung it on our doors.
So. Rufus, have you made any bows?
I'm out of that category.
Yeah, maybe I'm just not coordinated in that way. Just I had a lot of trouble making it that day, and it was mostly ladies.
Yeah, well,
sitting there, and I think they were having a good time watching me make a fool out of myself.
There's actually a Master Gardener intern. He's an intern. He just took the workshop. Took the training this past fall. So he's an intern. He was there at the wreath. Wreath workshop with us, and he was tying some beautiful bows. He was tying like the double
maybe
ribbon
he was a,
bows.
Maybe he's a surgeon.
I think he's a hairstylist. But anyway, he was very talented tying the bows. But it was, you know, it's always fun. I have tied bows, but that, you know, they don't look as nearly as good as what mom does.
Yeah, it's just it takes a lot of practice, I guess. Yeah, so you got to have an eye for that, just like making the wreath.
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk more about that and Rufus's cat coming up here on WPTF's Weekend Gardener. It's 8:34. You're listening to The Weekend Gardener on WPTF. It's Johnny Coley sitting across from me. Brother Rufus is on the phone this morning, and we hope you're doing well. Hope you had a nice Christmas and New Year, and I had a wonderful, wonderful time. Had about a week off, and that was nice to get some sleep.
Sleep in.
Yeah. Well, I do. It's kind of like Friday nights. I get more sleep on Friday nights because I don't have to come in as early for Saturday morning.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's a whole week of Friday nights, which would be great, you know.
Monday, we have to get everything back on track again,
right?
Because it's hard to do.
I worked Thursday and Friday. I worked New Year's Day and yesterday, and so I was back to the 3 o'clock 3 o'clock deal. Rough, Rufus, rough.
Yeah.
Oh man.
At any rate, I'm so how are your camellias? I mean, we had Johnny and I were talking off the air about your hellebores were hurt by the real cold weather we had earlier.
Leaves were burned.
When we had the 12 degrees or something.
Yeah, we had I don't know how cold it got here, but it was 12 degrees up in our area.
It got pretty cold. It got down in the teens, but your camellia's looking pretty good, Rufus?
Well, they're sort of in between now.
Yeah.
Of course, the cyclas have bloomed, the fall blooming, and there's some right now in sort of a transitory period there that are just gorgeous, and one that I had forgotten about that looks very much like the new Christmas Carol. And it's just loaded. I got it from Phil years and years ago. It's about 10, 12 feet tall and 6 or 8 feet wide, and just loaded with blooms with the red and white. And just simply unbelievable. And the first camellia ever planted coming into bloom now, and then there'll be some that won't come until after until around February.
Yeah, that's.
But I seem to have collected over the years more fall blooming than I have spring blooming. So this next time I'm going to try to put out some more spring blooming japonicas.
That's one of the great things about camellias. They come it bloom at different times.
Yeah, yeah.
And so if you have enough of them,
yeah.
you can spread them out from sometime September.
Yeah.
Because there is one called September Morn. Do you have that one, Rufus?
I certainly do. Oh, it's just gorgeous.
I believe that's a white one, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. September Morn and you know, just goes through until
late start winter. The sink was in the fall, and the hybrids will bloom in between, and then the japonicas in the end. So it's you can have color year round. And there was a white one, and I've gone blank on the name. It was real fragrant. It was a Sasanqua.
Oh, there aren't many of those. There are some. There's Sensation or something like that. Or
I cannot remember the name of this one. Goodness gracious, I can't believe I'm too far removed from the varieties and cultivars. But the camellias are gorgeous. We have one sort of on the edge of the yard there. It's a red, I think it's a Kramer Supreme. It's an old variety. Has the red with the yellow stamens in the middle. They're gorgeous. They can be, but they are susceptible to the cold.
Certainly.
The japonicas can get zapped sometimes if we have a real cold spell, or if it's been warm, and then it gets cold real quick. It seems like that affects them.
Rufus, do you have the Camellia Cinnamon Sensation?
Wait a minute. Now, what is that?
I don't know. Ann Clapp used to talk about it's a cinnamon scentsation. It's a type of camellia that has some fragrance. It's mostly white, but it looks like it's got a little pink on the edges, light pink on the edges, and it's a japonica.
It's not a very big bloom, but it's white with a pink edge, a tiny pink edge. That could be it.
Yeah.
The trouble with all of us is that we somehow over the years lose the label.
Yeah.
That came along, and you just don't remember what it was, but you see it in all of its beauty, but you'd like to know what it was. But I probably have 70 going on 100 now, and I can't tell you but five of what their name is.
We need to check with Phil to see if she has any fragrant ones.
Setsugeku is the one. Setsugeku is
that's,
the one.
That's the white fragrant. That's a real popular one.
That's the one I was trying to think
of. We'll talk to Dave coming up here on the WPTF Weekend Gardener. It's 8:39. Back on WPTF at 8:42. You're listening to The Weekend Gardener. Brother Rufus is with us by phone this morning, and we have Johnny Coley in the studio with us, the extension agent for horticulture in Granville and Person County. And Dave is with us in Raleigh. Dave, good morning. Thanks for waiting.
Sure thing. How are you guys doing?
Hey, couldn't be better. I hope you had a nice Christmas, New Year's.
Yeah, I took my lovely wife to Nashville, not North Carolina, but Tennessee for a long weekend in between Christmas and New Year's. It was kind of cool.
I went to Nashville, North Carolina, a couple of times. I kind of prefer that, but each to his own.
We got last minute tickets to the Grand Ole Opry as long as we were there.
You know, Mike Wheelis and I were out there broadcasting years ago, and we went to a Grand Ole Opry broadcast in the Ryman.
Oh, wow.
And there was old Porter Wagoner on stage and all that stuff. So, yeah, it was.
The MC reminded me of you. Same basic type of voice, same sort of look with the goatee, the whole thing going.
Okay.
So you can always fall back on that if you need another job someday.
Oh, well, that would be an extraordinary honor to be involved with the Grand Ole Opry. I was mystified. I just couldn't believe we were there and thinking about some of the greats who were members and who had that. And it's a church. It's an old church, and it's got a feeling in there anyway. I don't know if you've ever been in there.
Yeah, we took a tour of that.
Yeah.
And they actually took a circle of the floorboards off of the stage from there and had them in the new Grand Ole Opry.
Right. Yeah, I have stayed out there, and that is an extraordinary place to get lost. out at the hotel, the big hotel out there where the...
Opryland.
Yeah, Opryland, yeah. Did you ever get lost out there, Rufus, or... You had a lot of probably security and aides to help you get around, but I was just me. You know, at 4 o'clock in the morning trying to find out where we were broadcasting.
Well, I'm just knocked the telephone off the table.
All right, well, I'll check back with you in a few minutes.
No, I'm good now. But I used to go to the Grand Ole Opry with none other than Fat Leg.
Yeah.
And I knew... The reason I got in touch with Grand Ole Opry was that the son-in-law of Ernest Tubb married a girl. He was a skin doctor and married Ernest Tubb's daughter and moved from Southern Pines to Nashville.
Oh, wow.
And I knew him. And there for years, I had the run of the place. I was on stage with when Crosby... Not Bing Crosby, the comedian did his Christmas special out there each year. I one time sang with Porter Wagner.
Well, I'll tell you, he was dressed up that night. He was smart. You could have seen him on the other side of Nashville.
it's a wonderful place to go, and I don't know whether it still has the same old fashioned. Ambiance or not, Dave. I hope they haven't lost the old fashioned nature of it.
Yeah,
there's not a bad seat in the house.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, there really isn't in the new one, the old one either, for that matter. You could.
Yeah, but I'm this new country music. I don't much care for it.
Well,
they're trying to get fancy on us. I like the old.
You don't like fancy.
No fancy. No fancy
country. All right.
Well, two of the Hall of Famers they actually had performing the night that we went were Connie Smith.
Oh, wow.
And songwriter Don Schlitz, who had written The Gambler, among other things.
Yeah. Yeah, I met some – there's a restaurant, a steak restaurant that Wheelis and I went to that where the songwriters hang out. So, nice place, but – At any rate, yeah, a lot of talented people out there. My gosh. But I'm glad you had a good time. And your wife enjoyed it.
She enjoyed it more than I did because she's more into the country thing.
Oh, okay. Well,
and but because we
You're
got
more into week, the gardening thing, right?
Yeah. because our seats were last minute, we couldn't get seats together, so we put her in the third row down on the floor, and I was front row of the balcony up top.
Oh. So. There's got to be some symbolism there, something
yeah,
something in the cards about
it's the
that.
The second time we've done that to that shows, but whatever.
Good gracious. Y'all need an assistant, I think, to maybe... Maybe help you out with these things. Does the same thing happen on airline flights? I mean, do you not sit together on airline flights either?
Well, it's funny you say that because on the trip back, we got one upgrade to first, so I let her take the first.
You got an upgrade to first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she enjoyed herself.
I said you let her have it, Dave.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah. Well.
You better have.
She needs to return the favors somehow. I mean,
I'm still waiting for that, but that's okay.
She's been upgraded twice here. It sounds like to me, third row and then first class.
Yeah, yeah.
You're a martyr. See, that's this martyr complex that you've got. You've got to get away from that.
Michael, he follows this principle. There are two theories to arguing with a woman. Neither works.
Well, that's
good. It's a good thing she's still in bed because because you guys are talking about your flowering camellias and stuff. I'm looking out in our yard. There isn't a flower anywhere, and she has a ton of camellias. So I can just see her saying, oh, well, we need to phase our camellias and get a bunch of new ones and put those in, and I'm just feeling my back as a result of that.
And encore azaleas, Dave. You must have some encore azaleas. And of course, you've got all these bulbs that bloom at all times of the year. You can have something blooming, and the dreaded, beautiful, bewitching Daphne. If you haven't gotten one of those, now they're expensive as the devil nowadays, about $30 for a plant.
Mm.
But if you're lucky, you can get one to live a couple of years.
I've got one. I swear it's well over 20 years old. It may be longer than that. The crazy one I have. I was just looking at this Camellia Cinnamon Sensation, and it sold out, but it was $125 a plant.
Good Lord. What about a foot eye?
I don't know. It says the 10-gallon you had to pick up at the nursery, but they are sold out of this plant, period. And it blooms in March to April, mid to late spring. Bloom period. That's what it says. This is a North Carolina nursery too. I've never seen a camellia blooming that long. But it says March to April. March to April.
Yeah,
okay.
That's a good time. I'd love to have one of those.
Yeah, me too.
When you run it down, let's go get us one.
All right. I guess we'll have to wait. Because since they're sold out, but it is driving distance. Yeah, we could go to Merritt's and have a BLT and then go to this place. Yeah. So
let me ask you a quick gardening question. So I'm reading the January issue of Walter Magazine. And they have the January gardening tips in there, and one of which is January is the best time to plant perennial herbs. Is that right?
It would depend on the herb. I wouldn't say it would definitely depend on the herb. I mean, you could do rosemary.
Rosemary and stuff like that goes through the weather. What are their examples, Dave?
Well, you see, the interesting thing is, you know, normally you would expect them to make that statement in the headline and then tell you all the different types of stuff or they go straight from the headline of that section to how to dry your herbs and keep them available. And I'm like, well, that's not helpful.
Well, you got to have some herbs before you dry them, yeah.
Yeah. So there's no listing of the herbs that you might want to plant, just perennial herbs.
Now, the lady who wrote the article talks about three herbs that she dries and how she strips them from the stems. I think thyme was one of them, and oregano may have been one, and I forget what the third one was.
Yeah, usually you plant September, November, October, somewhere in there is when you...
Yeah, or either early spring. I mean, something like
that. Yeah, thyme, you could do that in March, lavender, March, April is another good time.
Yeah, yeah.
It's almost like they're reaching for something to do in January.
I mean, some of the hardier ones you could, but I would, especially something like lavender, you would have to be very careful with because it doesn't like to be wet. The feet, you know, the roots don't like to stay wet and they very, very well drain. And you plant it this time of year and you're apt to get too much rain,
Yeah, you know. Lavender likes cool weather. I mean, you go to the Midlands of England, and it's all over the place.
Yeah.
But it doesn't like harsh climates.
Yeah, it's a Mediterranean type. So it likes to, you know, likes drier, more arid areas. But rosemary definitely. Rosemary is probably one of your toughest herbs that you can have.
Are you looking for something to do in January, Dave?
Not so much, but I look for useful plants.
Yeah. So to me, herbs are more useful than camellia.
Well, I'd say January is a time when we kind of look around the landscape, and you can do some pruning, but it just depends. You can't, if it blooms in the spring, you can't.
Yeah, January is your planting month, so you
plan.
Do your,
yes,
you do all your planning in January.
Clean up.
Get your seed catalogs out and get things ordered for the spring and get things.
Yeah.
The other two things they had listed were starting your asparagus.
Yeah, you can plant asparagus
late January. You can plant your crowns.
It's interesting. I grew up in an old house, and across the street was a big open field, and there was just asparagus that came up in this field every year. So I've never even thought about planting asparagus. They were just sort of there.
Yeah, we have some asparagus that we planted years ago.
It's such an interesting plant.
It's still coming up. Yeah, it is. It will keep coming back. And, it'll last in production, 11, 12 years. Keep coming back if you take care of it. But, it's a great, great perennial vegetable.
Yeah, so starting, you could start seeds. Rufus, I know you've done that in the past.
Oh, yeah, I've just bought a new seed pad.
Right, a warming pad.
I used an old
heating pad.
Plastic cement box maker for small jobs. Put the heating coil down in there. Sow my seeds in the little squares, and then cover it with a plastic thing.
Yeah.
And you've got something really going.
Yep.
But it's too early to do seedlings now because they would outgrow the season. They would be so big by the time I was able to plant them that it wouldn't be right. So
that's one thing you
don't start my seeds till about March, Johnny.
Yeah, Rufus, that's a good point. You need to make sure when you do plant your seeds that you look and see how long it's going to take for that plant to be big enough to go outside, because you don't want it too big too soon. I know a lot of people like to plant their tomato seeds early, and then all of a sudden they have these big tomato plants, and they can't put them outside yet because it's too cold, and inside they stretch a lot more. But that's a great method of starting the seeds. Rufus is doing that because you're almost making a little greenhouse, your little small
that's
greenhouse.
That's what it is. Yeah. Turns out to be a little greenhouse.
Yeah, yeah.
Something Ann Clapp. Go ahead, Rufus. Yeah. Something that Ann Clapp used to talk about was sharpening tools and cleaning and sharpening tools that you have.
Yeah, getting everything old, old up and everything.
So that that's something you can do. But the January is probably not ideal for starting perennial, unless you're doing it by seed. Perennial herbs. So I think ideal is spring.
A little bit later.
When would you wait till, Johnny?
Late February, early March. I mean, by then you're warming up enough that that you can get some growth on them pretty quickly. And then
that's why I called.
Yeah. Well, I hope you called just to say hello too.
Well, always. Yeah. It goes without saying.
But that's what I think the consensus is. But
Rufus, I hope you feel better soon.
Yeah, absolutely. We hope Brother Rufus does. And Dave, thank you so much.
Yeah, you guys have a good day.
Happy New Year.
Great, Dave.
See you later.
All right. We'll talk to Richard after the news here on WPTF's Weekend Gardener.